Tony Miola joins us on Sports Byline, the former soccer goalkeeper who played for the United States national team at the 1990 and 94 World Cups and, of course, also in the MLS, inducted into the National Soccer Hall of Fame. Tony, you grew up in New Jersey and you learned your love for the game from your dad, Vincenzo, who played for the Italian second division. And I'm just wondering, what was it that he passed on to you about soccer?
Well, I think, you know, the one thing was just a passion for the game. He obviously never got to play at a high level. He moved to the United States where at that particular moment in time in history, you know, everyone was moving here because it was the next best place to live in the world and where you can make a living. And so he passed up his dreams of you know, pursuing the sport. But when I got here, I kind of was able to, you know, sort of rekindle his love for the game. And he could live the sport that he loved through me in a lot of ways. And he wasn't a guy that, you know, he's a working middle-class man, wasn't a guy that got in the way of things. He wasn't a guy that needed to be in the spotlight. He just loved, just in the same way I do, right now with my kids, love going to the games and kind of sitting on the sideline with a smile on your face, seeing your kids compete, and that's the way he was. But it was just, I think, just his inherent love for the sport, you know, was back then it was really, really difficult to watch on TV, unlike it is now. But you know, whenever there was a game on, it was he and I sat in front of that television and, you know, soaking in every minute of the game.
You know as well as I do that following in a parent's footsteps, like a father who played the sport, that can be a two-edged sword to some degree. It can be supportive, but it also can put a lot of pressure on a youngster to live up to the parent's fulfillment. Did you ever feel that in any way?
No, I didn't, but because he didn't put that pressure on me. And you know, I mentioned my kids, and my son just committed to play baseball at the University of Virginia, the same university that I went to. And he, in an interview he gave, because I really feel that he could be a successful Division I soccer player, he mentioned the fact that he didn't want to have to be compared. He wanted to sort of write his own legacy, and he's happy that his parents, you know, will allow him to do that and don't really force him. And that's the way I felt with my dad. You know, he didn't really force me. I played baseball as well. I played football, basketball. He didn't know any of those sports when he came to the United States, and he was just happy, like a lot of us are, that you know you're out of the house, but you're doing something constructive with your friends and not getting in trouble and doing something good for your body and all those good things that come along with youth sports. And that's kind of the way I feel with my son and my other two kids as well. Is that I'll go in any direction they want to go. I don't think for one minute that they should have to live up to anything, you know, that I did, or I didn't have to live up to what my dad did.
You were a multi-sport athlete, as you just alluded to, and you were drafted out of high school by the New York Yankees, and that had to be something that was a little bit mind-blowing because growing up in New Jersey, of course, the Yankees right across the river, you played in their farm system. How seriously did you consider maybe taking on baseball as your main sport?
Well, I did get drafted. I never had the opportunity to play because I went on to the University of Virginia. As a matter of fact, when I found out, I was in Chile for the 1989 under-20 Youth World Cup. So we were playing in a Youth World Cup, and I found out I loved the game of baseball. I loved it then. I love it now. The Yankees, as you mentioned, were my team. They continue to be a team I support more than any team in any sport. I'm lucky now that just like my father, you mentioned earlier, my father got to live out, base soccer at a high level through me. I'm getting to live it out through my son right now. And it just keeps me involved in the game. And it's obviously something that when I think back on it, everyone, you know, some of my friends, still to this day, when we meet up for Christmas parties, they tell me how crazy I was. But looking back on it and seeing the way things turned out in soccer, I don't know, even knowing the information I know now, that I would have made a different choice because I'm so happy that things, and so lucky and blessed that things turned out the way that they did in soccer.
How did you end up at the University of Virginia? I know you were on a soccer baseball scholarship, but why Virginia? Were they a powerhouse in soccer at that time?
Yeah, well, they were. They were. They held the record at one point, being number one in the country at least 1 week in the polls, I think for 12 years in a row. And I was probably in the middle of that, you know, around 6, 7, 8 years when I went in there. But it's a funny story. I went to school with John Marks, as you know, was captain of the U.S. national team for a while, played in a couple World Cups. We went to the same high school together, and he was 2 years older than me. And, you know, for years we were talking about where we were going to go to school. And, you know, it was Duke. That's where we were going to school because, you know, I had always said I was going to go where John went. You know, Duke came knocking on John's door, and that's where I was going to go. And then one day John came back from a visit, and he said, I'm going to the University of Virginia. And as a sophomore, I told my parents that I want to go to the University of Virginia. They were like, what happened to Duke for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years? You guys have been talking about Duke. And I said, well, it changed my mind. You know, so I went, unfortunately, never had the opportunity to play with John in college because I redshirted to play in a Youth World Cup my freshman year. Played baseball, was the first sport I played at UVA. And then by the time I was ready to play soccer, John had moved overseas and started playing in England. So we never got to play there, but that's the story behind why Virginia. It turns out that the place, Charlottesville, is just an incredible place. It was an incredibly huge soccer hotbed. They continue to be a soccer powerhouse, and you know, follow the program pretty closely throughout the year. It was a great choice for me.
And at Virginia, you had a chance to play under Coach Bruce Arena, who became a national head coach as well. And I'm just wondering, during those formative years, usually in the college period of time for an athlete, that's when they really start to blossom. And that influence by a coach is so important, Tony, as you know. How influential was he, and what did he do to elevate your game?
Well, I've said time and time again, it's funny because my career really started with Bruce Arena at the University of Virginia. I was put on the national team while I was in college, and it ended with Bruce Arena as he released me in New York in my last outdoor playing season. And we went full circle. But going back to those days, the one thing he taught me more than anyone else is how to compete on a soccer field, how to the willingness to do dirty work during the week, the willingness to take chances during games and compete. And when I got there, Bruce hadn't won a national championship, although he'd been the number one team in the country for quite a while. They were bowing out of the NCAA tournament early quite a bit. You know, if we needed to change that, we got to an NCAA final, won a championship in 1989. His career really took off from there. But I could tell you that, you know, it's hard while you're there to project forward. But looking back on it and seeing his success, it comes as no surprise to me, to be completely fair to him. The signs were there early. His man management skills, his way of dealing with different types of players, all of those things make him what I think is the best coach we've ever had in this country.
We have a little over a minute before we have to break here, but when you talk about a national team, whether it be a basketball team, a volleyball team, or even a soccer team, there's a lot of nuances that are associated with that, Tony, a lot of pressures. And when you're a young person like you were playing on the U.S. national team, did it scare you to any degree?
It scares me more now, to be completely honest. I was just too dumb back then to be scared. You know, I was a young kid from New Jersey and thought you could conquer the world and didn't think much of, you know, the fact that the U.S. hadn't been in the World Cup for 40 years. And, those things, we'd heard them. They were kind of all words. They were just words. We were going to get done what we planned to do, and that was to get to the World Cup, and that was to eventually win some games in the World Cup, which happened in 1994, now continues to happen. But I didn't think about it then. When I sit back and think about it now, I think to myself, boy, those were some scary times, because had we not qualified in 1990, the prospect of not having the 94 World Cup here in the U.S. was lingering. So we did some pretty extraordinary things for a pretty young group of guys.
We're talking soccer with Tony Miola, inducted into the National Soccer Hall of Fame, former soccer goalkeeper who played for the United States national team at the 1994 World Cups and also in the MLS. We'll talk about his experience in Europe over in England and also more about his national team experiences as well. And we do that as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.